Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
I'm Caleb Connor. I don't know if there's a lot of new faces, which is so cool to see here at Save the Cowboy, people coming in from different places. I don't know if I've got to meet a lot of you guys. I've filled in a few times in the past, but it's been a good while. So good to see you, everybody, here this morning. We're going to talk about something that's a little bit more serious, which is kind of tends to be one of the ways that I go about writing a lot of the messages is, I mean, I love to laugh, I love to have fun, but whenever I dig into scripture, I always seem to find a lot more serious things. And a lot of that's because it's where a lot of my value in life comes from, is from scripture. When you're living your daily life and everything's going just fine, you go to your job every day, you go to Thanksgiving, you go to Christmas, you spend time with your family, everything seems kind of fine, right? But there's a lot of times when each of us have our own alone time, or things start to get a little bit bleak, or a little bit of depression starts to creep in, you start to wonder, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? What is the big picture for what humans are on this planet? Sadly to say, a lot of those questions are asked more by atheists and people that are, they're seeking answers for their life because they don't have Christ. And because we do have Christ and we have that fulfillment in our life, a lot of times we don't take time to ponder the complexity and magnitude of how huge this universe truly is and how special we are, made in the image of Him. So I wanted to take this morning, partially because I couldn't pick one thing to talk about, and I just felt like I was being led back to this one subject, was making a big overview of Scripture. So there's expository preaching, there's subject preaching, there's all these different ways to dig into Scripture that focus on the minutiae, the small subjects, a single verse or a single chapter, right? How often have we looked at Scripture in the big picture, like the entire Bible? And that's what we're going to try to do today. I really, really struggled with this message because there are so many rabbit holes and threads that I can pull that lead to so many different places. So we're going to try to fly through this as quick as we can. And I'm going to do it a little bit backwards because I have an analogy to tie it all together, but I'm going to save it for the end. In the beginning, God existed. God created the heavens and the earth so that we had something to reflect His glory. God made the rocks, the trees, the stars, the hills, the animals, everything. And everything had to obey Him. Everything had to do as He commanded, right? Which does reflect His glory, right? But God chose to do something else. He chose to create man in the image of Him and give them free will to choose Him or not. What greater example of glory and worship and respect is there than creating a person that has free will, has the ability to choose Him or not choose Him, right? The creation of mankind set a chain of events in motion that has been there's nothing that's rivaled it in the history of man. See, there was this angel, a cherubim, called Satan or the dragon, right? He was God's most beautiful creation up until man. He was in charge of the music, and he got a case of jealousy. He got a case of pride. These angels also have free will, but they didn't have physical form, right? So Satan decided that he was going to rebel against God. He was going to climb up into God's place and try to steal this heavenly throne for himself. And God cast him out of heaven, and he took a third of the angels with him, right? Well, what we find, and I don't know a lot about that. There's not a lot written about pre-Earth history, sorry. But the key thing to remember is this story that happens before mankind is where the original sin of jealousy and pride comes from. And when he came to Earth in jealousy of mankind, because God, you know, God kicks him out of heaven, and then God creates mankind, and God has such pride and joy and says this is very good. All he wants to do is corrupt that. The story of Scripture is, the biggest picture of it all is how God shows us his nature, his will, his grace, his design for mankind to be one with him, to abide with him, to adhere to him, and Satan's attempts, repeated attempts all through Scripture to divide us, to separate us from God. You know, in the Garden of Eden, all he had to do was tempt mankind, was to tempt Adam and Eve to say, did God really say this? You could be like gods. You will know all of these things that God doesn't want you to know. He's just keeping a secret from you. So God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you will go, and the dust you will eat, and all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and you will bruise her on the, or he bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The fight between Satan and his offspring against God creation is seen all through the Old Testament. You guys know the Torah series that Kevin just finished. I'm so thankful that he's gone through all this stuff. It's kind of been shied away from by a lot of preachers, just because it can be kind of boring unless you really dig into it. And he did such a very good job at explaining all of these things and how important they are. When people read the New Testament, it makes sense why we should read it, to understand grace, to understand God's love for us. When you read the Old Testament, you're like, and so-and-so begat, so-and-so and begat, so, and it's just a lineage, right? But when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, God creates man. Man falls. There's utter evil on the world. The flood happens. Then there's the creation of the lineage of Israel, sorry. And all of their travels through time to fulfill prophecy, to create all of these prophecies that go all the way to the New Testament. See, God could have just, you know, wiped free their sin, said, oh, you know, I forgive you, it's okay. Well, it's like, let's just erase and start over. But that would be so against what God's nature is. Because his nature is just, his nature is pure. There is a law in heaven that already exists. And God following his own law, he went through the steps that were required to justify us, to bring us back into relationship with him. From the Old Testament, in the prophets, through Moses, through Abraham, you know, Nehemiah, all of those the major and minor prophets, there are 355 prophecies in relation to God's coming to be the perfect sacrifice that were fulfilled. 355. I started catching up on this show called The Chosen. I'd had a few people tell me that I had to watch it, and I just didn't, and put it off, and finally catching up on it. There's most of the things that are in it. I think they've done a really good job portraying what might have happened and a lot of the events that truly did happen. But something that really caught me was how well they knew Scripture. Even the everyday fishermen were quoting Scripture. They memorized entire books of the Bible. And yet when Jesus came, they missed him. And it always baffled me how the Sanhedrin, how these people that were professors at the law, professors at all of their historical religious practices that they had to do to attain favor with God. And they missed the big picture. The law was not to save them. They clung to that law so tightly that they couldn't let it go when the true payment finally came. We can kind of do that too. But the most important part of the Old Testament, I think, is that it points to the New Testament. That the existence of the Jews and the lineage of Christ and the explicit nature of showing us how pure of a line it was from Adam to Jesus, that he was the perfect sacrifice. The payment was fulfilled in probably the best verse that relates Christ to Adam is in Romans 5:18-19. So then through one's transgression, there resulted in condemnation to all men, even though one act of righteousness, there resulted in justification of life to all men. For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous. No longer did we need a priest. No longer did we need the law, and the Jews had rejected that. And that always kind of made me sad that God had done so many things with the pillar of fire, leading them through the desert and feeding them and defeating their enemies and giving them a promised land just for them to reject him and nail him on the cross and kill him. It's kind of a somber thing to think about. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says in First John 1:9. So we have creation, history, lineage, prophecy, fulfillment. What do we live in now? I call this like the age of the disciples. Because what are we called to do? We're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples. Why is there this huge gap between all these exciting, crazy things happen? Why is it just silent? Because God's not willing that those would perish that we have not come to him yet. He's given us time to go and spread the good news, to share this message with other people. And yet we sit on our butts and drive around in our little cars and stop and get coffee and do Bible studies and feel good about ourselves and walk right past people that may have never heard the good news. People that may think that Christians are just looking down their nose at them, judging them because they wear different clothes or they have tattoos or they've done things that maybe they think the church wouldn't approve of. That's one of the best things about Save the Cowboy is it is a place where people can come and feel like they have a family. They can come and honestly learn and not be judged or walking into some huge temple-looking place and worry about what people are thinking about them, or feel like they don't have enough scriptural knowledge to justify going to church. This is a place where you can genuinely be curious and come and talk to people that genuinely love God and love others. And I'm so thankful that you guys are here. The messages that have been brought through this humble little building over the last 10 years have changed more lives than I suppose Kevin ever anticipated reaching, man. I know this is God's plan, God's purpose, and anything is possible, but what a blessing. What a blessing. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a charge. Does your life have purpose? Is our life just making our bills, paying our taxes, getting through life? What truly is our purpose? If we were made in the garden to live with God, and he's gone through all of these different things, all of these steps, to adhere to his own nature, to justify us and pay for our sins in a way that aligns with who he is without betraying his own self, the least we can do is tell other people about it. I'm as guilty as anybody. There's a lot of people I know that I know for sure have never heard the truth of the gospel, and guess what? My lips have stayed shut, and that's embarrassing to tell you, isn't it? I mean, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me. And yet I always think, maybe next time, Maybe someone else will tell him. Maybe they've got a great aunt somewhere that's, you know, really on fire and can explain the gospel to this man that I know for sure is destined for a pretty warm place. No, it's up to me. It is up to me. So this analogy is probably the worst analogy you'll ever hear of, right? So what's one of Caleb's favorite things to do? Hunting or Brandon, pretty much. Man, Brandon season is right here, man. We're starting tomorrow. Gonna see what it's like to drag calves in the snow. But imagine you get an invite from the biggest ranch, the place that you've always wanted to work, various places. I would say it's some big ranch in Texas, but man, you'd probably throw that in the trash, wouldn't you, Ty? You'd be like, I ain't going. So you get this invite, right? One of the greatest things in life. You've been looking forward to it. You're wound up about going, right? You load up in a trailer. You stop at Allsup's to get yourself a burrito so you have yourself a good case of indigestion later. Branding credit. Right, yeah, exactly. And some little booger slides one of them concrete jersey barriers between your truck and trailer because he doesn't think you should have that nice of a rig. You pull off and that trailer snaps off in the front and you're left sitting in a gas station in the middle of nowhere. You're like, well, this is a very odd story, Caleb. I was like, yeah, but it's a true story and it happened. See, that invite to go to that branding is God's desire to be with us. We're separated from him. Jesus is like that pickup. And if Jesus was a pickup, I'd say it's probably a 12-valve Cummins with compound turbos. But there's this trailer sitting there in the parking lot, right? How is it supposed to get to the ranch? There's only one way, and that's through that pickup. Each of us are components of this trailer. Let's imagine this wreck was really bad and the trailer completely fell apart. You know, it must have been like never mind. I better not start naming trailer brands or I'm going to get a lawsuit on my hands. Anyway, it's a light tannish trailer that falls apart really easy. And the only way to get those components back on the trailer is welding. The Holy Spirit is like that arc on a welder. Who here is welded? We've got a lot of welders here. Oh gosh, we probably got about 20 of them here. So when you're welding, there's an electrode, whether it's a wire or a shielded stick. When that arc goes through that electrode to the portions that you're welding, it's not just like glue. It's not just getting it hot and sticking it together. That's like brazing. And that works okay for some things, but welding truly mixes all of the materials together. If you've got two pieces of plate on this trailer, that's you and the church, and the Holy Spirit is welding you back together, and that arc is pulling metal from both sides and the rod and swirling it all together, you cannot tell a difference between which metal is which. If you cut it out and did a metallurgical sample, you would not be able to tell what's what. Because we're made one again with Christ. We're tied back into that trailer, that the church body, the bride of Christ. And the only way to do that was through the Spirit. And the Spirit came to us after Jesus' payment for our sins. What scale? So when they make billet sheets, when they make rolled stock sheets of metal, they're heated up and they're rolled to the dimensions that they need to when they're like glowing hot, right? But when they do that, a lot of the carbon and impurities are on the top surface. So there's always that thin scale on top. And you have to grind that off or else your weld is gonna have porosity in it. It'll still hold. You know, you're not gonna be able to circumvent the strength of the Holy Spirit to tie you into Christ, but the welds aren't gonna be very pretty. That scale is like our sin nature that we're born with because of Adam, because of that sin. We come from a line of degenerates. Getting rid of that sin nature is impossible on our own. But through the Holy Spirit, They can grind and polish that until it's clean. What's another type of inhibitor for good welds? Like Ty said, rust. I look at this as exposure to the world, corrosion. Corrosion and oxidization from touching and being in close proximity to the acids of the world, the sinful things. Lust, greed, anger, jealousy, slander. Talking about other people's trailers that I shouldn't. There's so many things that we all struggle with that are all different that will cause us to rust, that will cause corrosion, that will cause porosity. What's porosity? You guys know what porosity is. It's just air bubbles inside of welds, okay? Causes weakness, causes really ugly welds, because when you go over it with the next pass, all that contaminants that are inside that bubble will pop out and blow your weld out. It just makes a big mess, and it's a compounding issue, so you need to start with a clean surface to begin with. What's the third kind of contaminant?
Too thin of metal.
Well, yeah. You can be too thin of metal for sure. What I was going with is oils. Oils are feel-good remedies. They keep you from rusting. Might be like a yoga class or something, or a Bible study that does not delve very deep. Or people that just go places to feel good, even church. You can go to church your entire life, and it may have zero effect on your soul. You may just be going to get your feel-good fix for the week, to make you feel good about being who you are. But the problem is all you're doing is smearing PB Blaster all over yourself, and it's inhibiting the Spirit from putting a clean weld and adhering you back to Christ. I hope this allows you guys to look at your own lives a little bit and evaluate where you are. Evaluate what a beautiful opportunity you have to live a life for Christ. And how often we throw it away. It's not a one-time choice. Because I can stand up here and say all these things today, and then on Wednesday morning, I can act in total opposite. I can expose myself to the world intentionally. I can look at a woman with lust in my heart. I can talk bad about my employer. I can lie about getting something done that I didn't get done. This is a daily choice, right? And that's what this group is for. Surrounding yourself with people that want you to be better and want to be better themselves. Not people that make excuses for why they're as bad as they are. That's a hard thing to talk about, isn't it? It's pretty easy to feel like, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. Like, that guy's really rusty, you know. He's still got a lot of scale on him, you know. Or that lady, I'm nowhere near as, you know, clean as she is, but she's always looks like she's just doing everything perfectly. But maybe she's not rusty because it's just got covered in oil. Just trying to feel good. Trying to make some sense of why we're here in life. I mean, for goodness sake, folks, you are alive. You woke up this morning, you got in a car, you drove to a county building, and you're flying around space on a spinning ball. Like, hallelujah. Right? We live in the easiest time of existence to live, and yet we make it so daggum hard. You can flip on your light switch and stub your toe on your really nice coffee table that Shay made for you at the Save the Cowboy Gala while you go to the kitchen and turn on your faucet and get warm water out of the faucet. What an easy life we have. It should leave a whole bunch of time for talking about the gospel, shouldn't it? Yet it doesn't. You know, we avoid it at all costs. We're afraid of what someone's going to think of us because we believe in the obvious. It takes more faith for me to choose to believe that we came from an explosion and it created all of this. All the symbiosis in creation, which is animals that rely on each other for existence. There's no way this place was not designed. There's no way that this place was an accident. There's no way that I was an accident. God chose to make me the way I am. God chose to make you the way that you are. Old guy at my old church that I used to grow up in, out in eastern Elbert County, Pastor Charles Hawker. What an absolute gem. What a most genuine people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. He told me one time, he said, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. He only made one you. Only one you. Don't waste it. I have no idea where I'm at time-wise. But that's what I feel like God led on my heart to say to you guys today. So whether we're short, whether we're long, I don't really care. Anything else would be just filling up space and time. And that's what I came to say. I love all of you. I'm so thankful that this place continues to fill up every Sunday. I love you all. Well, the guys come up and do their announcements. I'm gonna say a little prayer for you all. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to come on a snowy morning to be with people that love you and care for you and are trying to find their place in this world, Lord. So many times themes seem boring and empty and pointless. Please take everyone here this morning and give their life such a valuable purpose. Show them that your choice, your meaning for them in life is their choice to choose. Are they going to follow your will? Are they going to follow the call that you've given us to spread your word to other people? Or are they going to waste what's left of their lives on empty and vain things? Lord, help me to live up to the words that you put through me to bring this morning. Help me to be bold. Help me to be kind, not nice, to be kind and truly value other people's place in eternity. We love you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Amen.